Here it is, podcast number 4.
Oh boy, I really like this one.
This is perhaps our most focused work to date, which is not saying much.
No, that's also not necessarily good for you, the audience.
Yeah, because the things we focus on are
stupid.
In a deeply, deeply troubling way.
Yeah.
But without further ado, let's tell the people a little bit about it, shall we?
Oh man, have you wondered how to build IKEA furniture?
And have you wondered what two incredibly dim-witted Swedish brothers might tell you about it? Are they brothers? I don't even know if they're
it's
brothers.
It's very unclear.
I think they're at least cousins.
Something is up.
They
anyway.
They share an uncle.
So that is going to happen.
That's happening.
There's a song. We wrote a song this week.
It's best not to tell them what the song's about.
It's best to let them figure it out.
The song is also about IKEA furniture, sort of.
Sort of.
And then...
oh, God, what's the other thing?
We also have commentary on one of our YouTube videos.
That's right, yeah.
We'd like to think there's popular demand for that kind
of thing. It's like a DVD. Yeah. It's like a DVD, but better.
And there's some other shit, too.
Okay, good.
Everybody, go to the internets.
And go to youtube.com/audienceoftwo. Because this next segment is a director's commentary on one of our world-famous YouTube sketch-type videos.
No one has ever done this before. We are so cool.
Yeah, this is like a DVD, but far less expensive for us and for you. So what's going to happen is you are going to look for a video called the X4000 Backseat Driver Device. It's one of our most popular videos with a robust 280 views to date. We are going to just share our thoughts on the creative process on that video with you now. Okay, so those are credits there, obviously. I'm narrating over those. That's nice.
I'm really glad we used Garamond as the font.
Yeah, that was
a good choice. I think it's very dignified.
I agree. Okay, yeah. So here we are. This is the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, actually, where we were driving. That's Garrett working the camera.
Yeah, in the glove compartment, you can hear the sound of a bell.
Whose car was this, by the way?
This is Lulu's car, my girlfriend's car.
Yeah, that's right.
She very graciously loaned it to us.
Yeah, for this stupid project.
Let's see. You know what's interesting about this scene right here?
The
entire time we were doing it, I wanted a sandwich.
Really?
A pastrami sandwich.
I feel that way during most of our projects, actually.
Yeah. It's kind of like us working together has like the same effect as THC, in that it makes us want sandwiches and makes us say dumb things.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. This is us on Tillery Street,
yep,
which is a real street in actual Brooklyn.
Pepper and Potter, I think, is a real store. It's still there, I'm pretty sure. The fire hydrant out the window there.
Do you think that store, Pepper and Potter, is an Iron Man reference several years in advance?
Yeah, it's true. This was the comic was out, but the movie didn't come out for a couple of years.
Like, maybe the owners of the store really like Iron Man.
Yeah. You know, during this video, by the way, you can actually hear Garrett cracking up a couple times.
That's because we're hilarious.
Yeah. If he were here, he'd be laughing pretty hard at the commentary, too, I think.
He's really good at laughing, even when we're not funny at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Here we are on Flatbush Avenue.
Yep, that's in Brooklyn.
You know, it's interesting...
Where we live.
Interesting story about Flatbush Avenue.
Yeah.
There's no bushes on it.
Yeah, and it's not level at all, actually. It's kind of on an incline.
Yeah, it's a hill. There's that Indian restaurant. I've eaten there before.
I've eaten there too. I went with my girlfriend a couple weeks ago, actually.
I went with my girlfriend a couple weeks ago. So what is that? Like a girlfriend showdown?
I guess. Oh, here's me doing the end credits. The tag out.
Oh man.
Oh, and there's that thing we recorded. Oh, it looks like we're out of time. I guess. Okay, good.
Bringing you the latest from around the globe. It's Audience of Two News.
Detroit, Wisconsin, Philly Delicious. A local man was apprehended today after a string of mistaken sandwich incidents, which has left our fair city awash in confusion and mystery. Police refused to comment on the man's identity, but he is said to resemble computer tycoon Steve Wozniak. The man was apprehended outside Boopa's Delicatessen and Parfumery at 64 o'clock WST, Wisconsin Philly Delicious Standard Time Apples, immediately following the latest reported mistaken sandwich incident, which caused Mrs. Frilly Skirts McAllister to exclaim, "Gracious me, who put the questions in the mustard?" According to the police report, she faded instantly after this exclamation and was not revived successfully until 17 hours later, when doctors placed infant mackerels between her toes, at which time she bolted upright and proclaimed herself Lunastrina, Princess of Nobody's Moon. Unfortunately, none of this casts new light on the rash of sandwich craft that has of late befallen our noble province of Wisconsin Philly Delicious. The apprehended roustabout, known to us only as Person of Interest Number 56 Beehive, is unlikely to produce any leads, as whoever is perpetrating these crimes is thought to be a political enemy of the governor, whose corrupt tendencies know no bounds, as we are all too painfully aware. But as the hot air balloons of suspicion float about our streets and alleys, let us be certain of one thing. I hereby lay claim to Mrs. Frilly Skirts McAllister's mansion, from wherein I have recorded these very words. I alone will be safe here from the nefarious plot of this villain that roams among us. I would encourage each of you to also steal somebody's house with all speed, lest your sandwiches be irreparably tampered with. I leave you, dear listeners, with this parting salvo. If you trespass on the grounds of the McAllister property, which is now owned by me, I shall shoot you dead with a single blast from my oatmeal cannon.
That's it. That's the end of Audience of Two News. Go away.
Sitting on a couch, it's from IKEA. It's called Clip-On. It's fucking comfortable as shit. It's a white couch, not ethnically. Then again, it's from Sweden, so the odds are good. Just like the meatballs, they aren't white, but they are delicious. So think about that. Think about that. Sitting on Clip-On, wearing a clip-on tie, eating some meatballs. Think about America. Think of all the couches. Think of all the meatballs. Think of them fighting. Think of them fucking. Fucking each other. Making meatball children. Don't get freaked out. You made it up yourself. Sitting on your couch. Just another Monday. And your neighbor is a ghost. Think about that. She's a fucking ghost. Does she want to kill you? Is she gonna come through the wall while you're sitting on your couch? She probably will, cause ghosts can do that. And they hate the living. Think about that. Think of all the living that we do every single day. Think about time machines. Think about dinosaurs. Think about riding one to escape your doubts. Ride that dinosaur. Dinosaur metaphor. Oh. Think about your couch, how it's your throne. You are the king of your studio apartment.
Brooklyn, New York, 1:06 a.m., Black Sheep Pub. It is decided by the assembled parties that it is necessary to acquire pizza with all possible speed. Various options are weighed and debated. Among them, 1. Papa John's. Advantages: nearby, delicious. Disadvantages: closed, as of 6 minutes ago. 2. Domino's. Advantages: open. Disadvantages: product sold, cannot technically be classified as pizza. 3. All other Park Slope pizza locations. Advantages: nearby, more delicious than Papa John's. Disadvantages: closed as of 11 p.m. on account of the lame-o stroller contingent of our fair borough. Resolved. Shy is confident that the nearby Pathmark is open 24 hours, and that DiGiorno oven-baked pizzas can accordingly be procured from said market for a modest enough fee. Shy embarks for Pathmark with fellow operatives Dingman and Angelillo. All others proceed to base camp to preheat the oven. Upon arrival at Pathmark, the DiGiorno task force, upon being confronted with an outside-to-inside temperature swing of at least 50 degrees Fahrenheit, loses all semblance of focus and separates into a three-pronged grocery attack machine. The items lining the shelves of the Pathmark have no chance of survival, as the trio careens about the aisles, caroming off of confused overnight employees in their quest for vittles, which account for astronomical percentages of the FDA's recommended daily allowance of saturated fat. Having successfully procured 3 large DiGiorno Easy Bake pizzas, they regroup to discover that they have also somehow come into possession of a box of frozen tater skins, cheddar and bacon flavor, a box of frozen mozzarella sticks, a family-size bag of Doritos nacho chips, 12 Sam Adams winter ales, as well as a container of Entenmann's Pop'ems, known in some circles as donut holes, but in all circles as epically delicious. Wheezing and panting, congratulations are exchanged, but silence comes over them as they survey their shopping companions, whose purchases dwarf those of the task force in terms of majesty. Examples include, but are not limited to... 1. An MTA employee who has just gotten off her shift. Cart contents: no fewer than 43 rolls of salami, 2 full-size pork roasts, numerous turkey breasts, a smattering of toothpaste, and 1 container of orange juice. 2. An elderly lady. Cart contents. 9 boxes of Corn Pops cereal, 3 12-packs of Florida's Natural Orange Juice boxes. Total, 48 juice boxes. 3. A gentleman with a Bluetooth device. Cart contents. 2 6-packs of ramen noodles. No orange juice. Having appropriately commiserated with fellow customers in line about the status of cash register availability, the task force successfully purchases their comestibles and proceeds back to base camp. Upon arrival, they discover that the remainder of the party has been on the brink of assuming that the task force fell victim to the bitterness of the January climbs and is lying dead somewhere on Flatbush Avenue. They have accordingly commenced preparations for bed. These processes grind to a halt, however, with the arrival of the task force, and gears are immediately shifted to accommodate preparation of the DiGiorno pizzas as well as the tater skins. Much chatter and analysis of the evening's earlier goings-on is undertaken. 19 minutes pass. All hands are called to order to address the situation that the room has become engulfed in smoke billowing from the oven. Upon opening the oven, it is revealed that the smoke is likely related to the decision of a certain individual to cook the tater skins on a piece of wax paper. When questioned about this maneuver, said individual indicates that there is nothing to fear, as the paper in question is in fact pizza paper, and accordingly immune to flame. Visual evidence suggests otherwise. Time passes. All of the food is ready for eating. An orgiastic feast of trans fat proceeds to occur. There is momentary consternation amongst the vegetarian contingent about the tater skins, which are enthusiastically consumed before those of that persuasion think to examine the flavorful discs for the presence of meat, resulting in initial joy but subsequent horror at the flavor of bacon. Panic is avoided when analysis of the tater skins box reveals that although there are physical objects on the tater skins which appear to be bacon cubes, there is not in fact anything resembling actual meat on the list of ingredients. Snacking continues in earnest. The aforementioned vegetarian begins to tell frightening stories about poisonous spiders, resulting in subsequent speculation by the author of this document that the vegetarian is a warlock with nefarious plans to propagate his evil magics across the internets. When questioned as to the validity of this suspicion, the author, recognizing that the pathways to his brain are still clogged with partially hydrogenated soybean oil, monosodium glutamate, cheddar cheese, and Red 40, humbly withdraws his assertion.
It's time for furniture building with Mark and York.
Hey York, you want to build this coffee table?
Yeah, not everybody knows how to build the coffee table, so I'm York. This is my friend Mark. We're going to show you how.
How you doing?
We're going to show you how to put together an IKEA coffee table with its elegant Swedish design and
super functionalities.
Yeah, okay. So
that's pretty good. You can put it in front of your couch and then put, you know, like a cup of coffee, maybe like a Maxi magazine or something
magazine,
like that.
Like a New Yorker if you're a more literate kind of type.
Or maybe the conservative types.
Yeah, if you're William F. Buckley, you can put the National Review on it. Unless you are dead.
Yeah. Okay, then you. So. But if you're dead, you're probably not building coffee tables.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's open this up.
Okay, here we go.
So this the IKEA LAC coffee table is particle board is pretty cheap, but it's sturdy.
Hey, York, yeah. I thought of a good joke about the coffee table.
Okay, yeah.
It's called LAC. I like this coffee table.
Oh, that's good. That works in the English.
I like
it
pretty
good. But not Swedish. It's like, it lacks nothing. That's a good one, too. It got about 4 legs here.
4 legs? That's pretty standard.
Yeah, it's pretty standard for the coffee table. It's got a little shelf on the underneath. On the underside, you got some sockets where you gotta put the little metal plates, and then you attach those with the screws. So
yeah,
you see,
it's pretty good. They did the metal plates for you already.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I had like a cousin with a metal plate in his head because he had an accident.
He got hit in the head with a big hammer.
Yeah, he was trout fishing and then there was a little bit of a miscalculation.
Yeah, after that, you remember how he talked?
Yeah.
He's always like, hey, blingy blonga, blooga blonga.
Yeah, he sounded like the chef, you know, the Muppet chef. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to screw in the table legs into the holes that the IKEA has pre-drilled for us, okay?
Oh, so, they do that for us?
Yeah, so that's right there.
York, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, you're trying to screw it into the floor where there is no hole.
Oh, York,
that's why
I'm sorry, man. I fucked up your floor. I feel really bad.
No, don't worry about it.
You know,
Mark, seriously, it's all right.
You remember that time I built a chair on your wall?
Yeah, it was weird. That was awkward.
You can't even sit there.
I couldn't tell you. I was like, hey, how you not notice this a wall? It's like vertical in front of you.
Yeah, sometimes the directions, it's not so good for me.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Now you got this chair. Sometimes I bump my head on it.
Oh, that's too bad.
York, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, thanks.
No, Mark is all right. All right, so we're going to screw their legs in here.
No, I'm Mark. Hey, so, York. You think when we're done, we can have Uncle Bjorn over for some blintzels?
Yeah, I think he'll like that. I think he'll like that. He'll be impressed. He usually likes to come see what we build after the show, so.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he'll bring Aunt Josephine.
Yeah, no, she's a nice lady.
She's pretty good looking, York.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Listen, you know, she's not a blood relation, so it's not weird.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Maybe you think,
come on, look, besides, we don't build the couch bed until next week.
Oh, okay.
That's too bad.
I see how you're thinking, York.
Yeah, well, hey, you know,
You're pretty clever that way.
It's hard to pull one over on York or Mork.
Yeah, or both of us, we're pretty smart.
Exactly, that's my point.
What do you think Uncle Bjorn will mind, or you think he'll be okay with it?
You know, what he doesn't know won't hurt him.
Or okay. We should finish the table.
Yeah, we should do that. Okay, so we flip it up like this, on flipsy, on hop.
Oh.
And that's one peg, and iron hop. That's a two.
That's two pegs.
Iron hop. And that's three and four right there. So we're going to put that in.
Okay, so we put that in there. And then what you see here is it's made out of this particle wood.
Yeah, particle board.
But it's the same color as real wood.
Yeah, they do that with science.
It's like I'm kind of superstitious.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like to knock on wood to get the good luck.
Yeah.
So when you knock on the table, it sounds hollow, but it's real.
Yeah, well, that's what they say about your head, Mork. That's a Swedish thing.
They're always saying that, but I never understand.
Yeah, I know. Oh, knock, knock, who's there? Oh, not Mork, he's not home.
Mork! No, I'm here. Well, no, we're at your house. So I'm not at home right now.
Thanks for coming out and listening to Mork and York's home furniture building establishment corner.
Yeah, we hope you lock the show.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's the name of the table.
So, there goes podcast 4.
Into the mist.
But before it goes, it has a little bit more information to give you, which we'll do now.
That's right. Well, as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, both of you, we have...
Hi, guys!
We have a show coming up, which is a showcase for the Montreal Comedy Festival. Hopefully they will like us and want to see more of us. That's the plan. So that is at February 13th at the People's Improv Theater. You can buy tickets online. We are playing with a group called The Impending Mustache. So look for their show. We are playing with them. And come check it out. Buy tickets. Come bring your friends. Laugh uproariously. Make the people from Montreal think we're awesome.
Yes. And as always, please do continue to send us feedback about the podcast on the website via comments and hate mail. We are appreciating doing this for you and hoping that you are enjoying listening to it. It's not too excruciating.
Although, judging by the volume of hate mail in relation to everything else, it's hard to say.
Yeah, you guys are pretty scary people. Both of you. Goodbye, Internet. Goodbye, Internet. Goodbye.